evil is called good and good evil. How has our nation changed so dramatically, so quickly?
We've gone from a Christian nation to criminalizing Christianity.
This is Bob Boyd.
And Jerry Boyd.
This is Issues in Education. With the liberal left controlling the key institutions of government, education, and the media, they have led our nation toward de-Christianizing our culture, abandoning the biblical foundations for vain delusions that scorns belief in godly morals. How has it happened? It's happened through the changing of the definition of words so that they now mean the opposite.
As George Orwell wrote in his famous book called 1984, war is peace, freedom is slavery, and now homosexuality is gay, abortion is choice, Islam is peace, and Christianity is evil.
David Kapelian, VP of WorldNetDaily.com. David Kapelian is the author of The Snapping of the American Mind, Healing a Nation Broken by Lawless Government and Godless Culture. The words socialist and Marxist have lost their meaning. So you had that example when you were on Hannity. Tell us about that.
I was on the Hannity panel. I made a comment. What we were dealing with was a socialist coup d'etat. And I also used the word Marxist, that Obama had been steeped in Marxist ideology and influences, which is like saying the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. There's no opinion involved in that. That's just a matter of public record. But Marxism has changed. Marxism at its core has to do with radical redistribution of power and wealth, that the poor have been exploited by the rich, and the original idea of Marxism was we're going to do it violently. We're going to have a war, and we're going to, like, kill the bad guys, and we're going to take their land and their money and the wealth and give it to all the poor and exploit it. Well, that didn't come about in the U.S. So what the early Marxists in the U.S. said, Marx was right, but his theory didn't work out. So they figured out how to make it work, do it gradually rather than quickly through revolution. And the one roadblock they had to remove was Christianity. And so they had to undermine Christianity, which has been the Marxist burrowing away like termites at the spiritual and moral foundation of America through our colleges and universities, even the churches. And so today you have massive confusion, and a great deal of Marxist thinking has been infused into academia. The colleges are the most left-wing places in America. What they've done is pretty well destroyed the country.
Well, they really have, and I like the way you contrasted Mao Zedong, and he had that book that people were to adhere to so that they could think correctly. But they aren't thinking correctly when they're thinking according to these Marxist utopian views. The Bible's the only way to believe because it doesn't violate our God-given conscience.
Exactly right.
But political lies are like magic words that open the door to all sorts of evil.
That's right. The way the left have captured the language. The left, thanks to the Supreme Court, has redefined marriage. But you can't really do that. You can say 2 plus 2 equals 17. Not really. You can have Supreme Court saying 2 plus 2 equals 17. It doesn't. But it has created a lot of conflict and confusion. But it's not only redefining marriage. The left has redefined all of our core values. Equality has become inequality. Justice. Justice has become injustice. Equality has become inequality. George Orwell, author of 1984, famously said, peace is war, freedom is slavery, and so forth. How could anybody believe stuff like that? But we have our own version of it, where things, they're opposite. This is what this word used to mean, and now let's look at how it's used now. It means the opposite. We have one pro-choice group trying to get the Catholic Church indicted at the United Nations for torture, under the torture statutes, because it causes women discomfort when they are told that killing their baby is a bad thing. Therefore, under the UN, I can almost barely even say this because it's so insane, but the way the UN defines torture, in other words, speaking the truth can cause discomfort. That is torture, to speak the truth. When reality is that abortion, especially late-term abortion after 20 weeks where all the pain receptors are fully switched on, it's almost too horrible to speak of, but you are literally tearing little human beings apart, limb from limb, sucking their brains out. It's horrific. We talk about ISIS and the things they do. The harsh truth, and it genuinely pains me to say it, we do these things to little unborn babies that feel everything under the banner of women's health, choice, and things like that. And so when the Catholic Church and others, of course, say, this is barbaric, we can't do this. In the case of Planned Parenthood, we shouldn't be taking money from taxpayers to the tune of $500 million a year and giving it to these butchers.
The awful butcher, the abortionist that would actually deliver the babies and kill them outside of the womb. And I started crying when you were talking about the one little baby went into the toilet and and it was swimming around trying to get out, and it died.
That's very touching, and we're actually killing babies. But we put ourselves to sleep in this whole thing of women's health. Words take us away from the reality. This man, Gosnell, was convicted of first-degree murder, multiple counts, and will spend the rest of his life in prison for killing these little babies. A jury and the media all agreed he's a monster. But the exact same thing that he did, babies at the exact same age of gestation and the same preciousness are killed every day, and it's women's health.
Boy, isn't that amazing.
And it's a constitutional right. This is a form of insanity, that you can have these two worlds, the fantasy world of abortion, and the real world, which came to light in the Gosnell trial, how they collide. But good things happened. The 20-week abortion ban in Texas, in the aftermath, the pro-choice side went insane, chanting, "Hail Satan, Hail Satan," while the pro-life Christian demonstrators are singing Amazing Grace and giving their testimony about God and being saved from having abortions. I've seen some unhinged pro-choice demonstrations, but we're talking how they're smuggling in, I can't even say it, but unmentionable things, blood and urine and stuff like that, into the Texas legislature, because they want to throw these inside the building, and you had to have the Texas law enforcement to search everybody before they went in. This is really unhinged, crazy, lunatic stuff. And I'm making a case that because the light shined more brightly from the Gosnell trial, the reality of abortion, it's like a cross to a vampire. It makes them shriek in the night. That's what we've been seeing. So we're going to see more and more as people wake up doing this type of thing, because ultimately it's spiritual. It says in the book of John that the darkness hates the light. It's really true. This is reality. There is a God. There is good. There is evil. They're both trying to recruit us.
Gosnell was seen killing a baby, now a capital crime, but the same baby, same exact age, that's a woman's fundamental right. Such hypocrisy. Taking live baby parts, heart, lung, liver for sale is unconscionable, and yet doing it as a woman's choice is okay to kill her baby. And that comes back to words. So that abortion is simply pro-choice or a woman's health. So that homosexuality is simply being gay. There's nothing gay about transforming something bad into something good. Islam now is not a religion of hate. Islam is a religion of peace. Islamic terrorism is simply workplace violence. Social justice is really government confiscation of private property. Injustice. These words have been totally changed to mean exactly the opposite.
That's a very good bit you just said. We've been hypnotized by these words, losing sight of the reality they stand for. So that's why, going back to Planned Parenthood, I think the reason that hit people so hard, they knew about abortion, but we saw the soul of the pro-choice movement. We saw something that was so shocking.
Dark.
There's no soul, that this is a human being that we're dealing with. It's, oh yeah, liver. People want liver. Livers, oh yeah, I crush above, I crush below, we get this part. It's like she's dealing with like wrecked autos or something. Crush over here and we crush on the hood of the car. It's like she's in a trance. There's no consciousness of what. And to contrast that with the worker, young lady, she was like a contract worker there for a while, and she said that when she went in and she saw the petri dish with the little baby parts, she touched one of the parts, just touched it with a glass probe. Just touching it, she said it sent like an electrical shock through her body. It was like a spiritual shock, because God is saying, you're stepping over into a forbidden land. You shouldn't be here. That is really what these things come down to. They're not just political, the war on women, and these different issues. No, it really is, are we moving toward God as a country, or are we moving away? And unfortunately, if we keep moving away, eventually God gave them over to strong delusion, decadent ways. I can't remember words right now.
Reprobate mind.
Thank you. I don't believe God has abandoned America, but I do believe a lot of people have abandoned God.
When people harden their heart to sin and they keep hardening it, that's what we saw with that woman who was so hardened, she couldn't even feel. It wasn't like a baby at all. When they make abortion legal, they make same-sex marriage legal. It's considered moral and wholesome because it's legal to get an abortion now. We need to go to a higher law.
Yes, I agree. Legal equals moral to many people. But it didn't work out that way because as soon as we legalized abortion went up 1,500%, 15-fold, because it becomes okay. It's not just legal. It's a vaunted, protected constitutional right, so get out of my face.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? I don't want to make things legal because legal equals moral, and all we do is encourage people to
That's
do
good.
It.
Yeah, somebody might wonder how a nation of intelligent people could so easily be duped to think the opposite of what the words mean. So tolerance now means intolerance of Christians. To eliminate prejudice, you have to be prejudiced against Christians.
That's exactly right. It's their main weapon, birthright citizenship. It's in the 14th Amendment. But the 14th Amendment that had to do with slaves. That had nothing to do with drop across the border, plop, have a baby, and now we take care of this baby for the next 80, 85 years. It's not in the 14th Amendment. There's no way that same-sex marriage is in the Constitution. There's no way that abortion is in the Constitution. But they use words to get what they want.
But think of that same-sex marriage. I mean, honestly, a generation ago, we would have thought that's crazy. And now we're told to embrace it, celebrate it, not just tolerate it. And if we don't, we're the bigots. We're hate-filled and homophobic.
Yeah, it is the one issue being used more effectively than any other to attack Christianity. Kim Davis, the Kentucky county clerk, spent 5 days in jail, and we have many, many other people who have lost their entire businesses. Their whole livelihood has been destroyed.
Talk about that, because you have a lot of examples in your book, because we're thinking, oh yeah, so what, let same-sex couples get married, but it's ruining a lot of Christian businesses, because they will bake cakes for homosexuals, but when it comes to the marriage, they believe only in traditional marriage, what God designed.
Yeah, the LGBT is the one issue that can be used by the left, which, by the way, the left doesn't really care about transgendered people and stuff like that. They like the issue because it's a spear with which they can attack their true enemy, which is Christianity. So homosexuality is the one issue that is being used to demonize and actually criminalize for the first time. When you send somebody to jail, we're talking criminalize. It's a reality here and now, the Christian religion. And not just homosexuality, being transgendered. A few years ago, the idea that you're going to have men going into a girl's bathroom in a school was like, well, no one's going to agree with that. Just a few years later, we have, if you don't agree with that, you can be prosecuted. You're a lawbreaker if you don't want 18-year-old boy going into your daughter's bathroom or locker room at school. People get undressed and shower in locker rooms in schools, but we have laws now. If you are the opposite gender, but you feel more comfortable as that gender, you don't have to have had any surgery or anything like that. I'm a young male, but I just feel more like a female. I only go in the women's locker room when they're undressing. It's insane. Insane. Completely unhinged from reality. A few years ago, pretty much everybody agreed. Even Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton just a few years ago said, I believe marriage is between a man and a woman. Just a few years.
Yeah, that was just a cover. He never believed that.
Well, of course. But a few years later, now if you say, I believe marriage is between a man and a woman, you are a hater, a bigot, potentially a lawbreaker. And that's part of why I say the snapping of the American mind. In the scheme of history, the centuries of history, the changes that are happening in America right now is like a snap. It's happening in the course of just a very few years, that a few years ago, you'd be considered insane to say that two men can get married to each other.
That's right.
Now, just a few years later, if you don't believe that, you're evil.
You go to jail.
Unto those who call good evil and evil good. That's exactly what we're seeing right now.
What we're seeing is a recreation of reality. Because of the liberal fantasy world, young Americans are being deceived to hate their own country in this epic war against capitalism and Christianity. And it's really all about lying, isn't it?
It is. Students being taught to hate America. The military historian William Lynn describes colleges today in America. He calls them small ivy-covered North Koreas. I don't think people really understand what's happening on the college campuses. It's not like when they went to college. It's not even like it was 10, 15 years ago. It is so bad, the policing of speech and the punishing of microaggressions and trigger warnings before you read classic literature. Colleges today are literally teaching young people pathological thinking. Your parents are paying $60,000 a year to being trained in pathological means sick. Sick thinking. This is what we are actually training in these young people before they go out in the real world. Think about this. You're being taught in college to take great offense if somebody says something considered offensive, like America is a land of opportunity. I kid you not. Word for word, those are actual statements that are now considered, according to Dartmouth College, for one, to be prejudiced, to say America is a land of opportunity.
And how about just God bless America? That was considered offensive by this Taryn Hathaway of Salinas, California. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes. This was a little girl drew as her art project a picture of the American flag with the words God bless America written right in the middle of it. Her teacher said this was offensive. How could a little girl's drawing of the American flag says God bless America be possibly considered offensive? But a Democrat in my father's day, a JFK Democrat, is like a Republican today. JFK wanted to cut taxes 30% across the board. He stood up to Khrushchev in the Cuban Missile Crisis. He's better than a lot of Republicans are today in some of these key issues. So we have a spiritual polarization. Places of power, major institutions, are not just left. They have a different ideology. They want a bigger safety net. No, it's actually at war with basic Judeo-Christian values. They won't speak of it in this way, but in reality, if you look at Obama, let's just be honest. Obama hates Christianity. Obama, I don't know if he's a Muslim or not. He was certainly raised as a Muslim, but what I do know is he hates Christianity. At every turn, he does not miss an opportunity to put down and dismiss and blame Christianity. You can say you're a Christian. I can say I'm an elephant. It doesn't make me an elephant. So Obama is not a Christian. He's the most anti-Christian president we've ever had.
Also anti-American, you said that never before have we elected a president to office who had such disdain for the country that elected him to office.
Yeah, Obama, it's a national tragedy that he was elected twice. And a lot of good people said, wouldn't it be great to have a black president? I could name you a dozen black people that I think would be great presidents. We have one of them is running right
now.
Yes,
yes.
It's not a racist thing. 69 million people voted for Obama in 2008. Show the world that America is indeed the least racist nation on earth. It would be wonderful to have a black president. We just don't need a black Marxist president or any color Marxist president.
That's right.
Which
probably
is what we got.
But you notice the liberals who are not for Ben Carson, they're not called racist as those who dislike Obama.
Yeah.
Are called.
True, isn't that double standard? They say that even people that voted for Obama are turning against him because they're racist. But wasn't he black when people voted for Obama? Did he, like, change colors or something since then? How can they say that America now suddenly is racist? He was black then. He was the same color.
That's right. I love what you put in your book. You were talking about this radical change in America is the result of a relentless campaign of intimidating, ridiculing, persecuting countless good people into finally abandoning their moral principles or at least shutting up about them. Sums it up.
Yeah, and that actually brings to what to do. So we have something positive here.
Yeah, really.
Is that we need to embrace our faith and God's laws. If you understand that it's intentional, the snapping is intentional, you cannot conquer a virtuous people. This is war to the left, and you cannot conquer people who hold to your religious beliefs, holding on to your calm center and your sanity. They depend on making you angry and upset to the point that a lot of people I know don't vote. They don't watch the news anymore. It's just too upsetting. Out of personal survival, drop out and not be dealing with this. That's a mistake because the bad guys win when the good guys stay home. Back in Jesus' day, it was worse. They were crucifying people on the roadsides. It's not as though we have a corner on evil and problems today. We do need to learn to deal with things with patience and forbearance that comes through faith. And really, I'll just put it plainly, to not be intimidated, not be angry. If you see that you're being forced or pressured to believe a certain way or to act a certain way, you don't have to strike back with anger or to oppose it with anger. You just, no thanks. I have my beliefs. I have my God. I know what's right. This is insane, and you're just not going to get to me.
Well, when you realize that hate is at the heart of the radical left agenda, so that if we let these atrocities and insanities of the left fuel our anger, that plays right into this diabolical scheme. So if pro-lifers do violence to abortionists, it gives the left reasons for more strict control and loss of our freedom. So it results in tyranny. I think Obama wants people to snap and thus martial law could come into being. But Jesus said to love our enemies.
Yes,
and
amen.
Richard Wurmbrand, who was 14 years in Romanian prison, he was tortured for Christ. He was starved. And yet he said, I hate communism, but I love the communist people. So we can overcome their hate through love and forgiveness.
Yeah, he was a wonderful example. I commend his book, Tortured for Christ, to show that there are real people. And this is not somebody back in the first century. He died in 2001. He died fairly fairly recently at the age of 91 after being tortured and living 30 feet underground in a Romanian prison. But here's a guy, he's not Christ. He's a regular mortal person. He discovered something beautiful, and many other people have as well. And we all need to find that, because otherwise we're not going to make it, because there's so much chaos, there's so much evil in the country. It's not hopeless. It's not hopeless to turn the country around, but the first step in turning it around is you need to be the change you wish to see in the world.
I love that too, because Jesus is the change in us. He changes us. He transforms us, and it's Christ's life in us. And I love that scripture, love your enemy, bless them that curse you, do good unto them that hate you, and pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. So when I pray for Obama, it helps me. You know, it helps us.
Yes, very true, Jerry. They don't know what to do with it. The bad guys, what do they do with that? And I think the pro-life movement, more than any other part of the conservative Christian world, exemplifies they really are love your enemy type of movement. The women having abortions are not the enemy, of course. They're victims too. But it has turned people around. Norma McCorvey, the original Jane Roe of Roe versus Wade, the reason she got turned around into a pro-lifer was because of the influence of the people praying for her outside the abortion clinic where she was working. And she talked to them, and she was pierced by their love.
Well, in your chapter, Is There Hope for America? Half the country has been corrupted and indoctrinated or helplessly, hopelessly dependent on the state. But the other half are right-thinking Americans who haven't abandoned their basic beliefs, patriots who love this country. So for every Obama who's been raised with a bitter resentment toward capitalism in America, there's a Ben Carson, born in poverty, rose above victimhood to become a famous neurosurgeon and presidential candidate.
That's what I love, that Ben Carson is running, because it's showing we love black people and we have no prejudice against them. It's just we like those that stand for biblical traditional values, and Ben does.
He would be the black president that America should have had, the first black president as a role model instead of what they got.
Well, half of the Christians don't bother to vote. Politics is corrupt and God will determine who gets into office. Church shouldn't be mixed up with state. We should focus on the gospel, not politics. And that's exactly what our enemies want. Keep Christians away from the voting booth.
There are some churches, some denominations that actually teach don't vote. That's unfortunate and irresponsible. It's a tragedy that you have people that don't vote, because the left-wing get-out-the-vote machine is going to go and dig up everybody, dead or alive, legal or illegal. And that, by the way, is a proven fact. There is vote fraud. Almost all of it is on the left. If we want to save our country from a Hillary Clinton, people better get their heads on straight and go out and vote. In the meantime, we need to protect our children.
If you have kids in public school, pray about getting them out in homeschooling or Christian schooling.
Amen to that. That's why I say the fundamental transformation of America has to do with the minds and souls of each person that's listening. A lot of people have been confused and saying, well, I guess two men can get married. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. The real war is for our minds, hearts, and souls, and we need to protect them and those of our children, because that's really where the battle is going to be won or lost.
David Capellian is the author of The Snapping of the American Mind.
How did it happen where America has gone from a biblical Christian nation that loved truth, justice, and righteousness to a nation that promotes abortion, homosexuality, pornography, and evil throughout the world?
It happened because, as David Capellian said, we are in a spiritual war, and all the spiritual powers of evil have come against this nation. But as the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6:13 said, put on the full armor of God, so that when the evil powers attack you, you will be able to stand. Pastor Richard Wurmbrandt, founder of the Voice of the Martyrs and author of Tortured for Christ, wrote, reason tells you your fight is in vain. Just as reason told David Goliath would kill him. But God never loses. Fight, he said, even if it's hopeless, and leave the victory to Christ. We see things as they are. God sees what they will become. Communism is a religion of hate. Christianity is a relationship of love. Richard Wurmbrandt wrote, I saw a miracle in that Romanian communist prison. I saw the communists torture a Christian priest for years, and one sadistic communist burned the priest's skin with cigarettes. He burned him with electric shocks to sensitive areas of his body. He put his feet into acid baths trying to get that priest to renounce his faith in God. And then, ironically, the communist then turned on this sadistic guard and tortured him, hanging him up by his thumbs, whipping him and beating him, cutting his body almost till he bled to death. And then, as a final act of hate, they put that sadistic communist in the very same cell with the man he had tortured almost to death. Both men were almost dead, and the communist went up to the priest. He said his soul was in agony, and he begged the priest to pray that he might be forgiven the terrible things that he'd done. And the priest, with tears in his eyes, said, "Because Jesus Christ loves you, I love you. And because he forgives you, I forgive you. But Christ loves you all the more and forgives you." And they prayed together, embraced each other, and they died together that Christmas Eve night. And both entered eternity with Jesus Christ rejoicing. The love of Christ overcame the hate of that communist prison guard.
If you would like a CD copy of today's program, please ask for number 1444, Calling Evil Good and Good Evil, Part 1. That's number 1444, Calling Evil Good and Good Evil, Part 1. The CD also includes next week's program, Part 2. And you can order a CD copy of this program from our website. Our website is issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org. Or for credit card orders, you can call us at 928-776-0000. That's 928-776-0000. From Malachi 3, "They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day when I make up my treasured possession. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him."